Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Cameron Boyce. Cameron has done many film and TV projects, but he's best known for his roles in Mirrors, Eagle Eye, Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, Jesse, Gamer's Guide to Pretty Much Everything, Descendants and Descendants 2. Cameron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. That was pretty legit there. I couldn't have done that as good as you just did. That line reading was perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You took your time, you enunciated. Yeah. You checked all the boxes there. That was good.
I've done this a few times.
Yeah, I bet that first part you know pretty well.
I do. And the other thing is, you know, truthfully, I've learned from my kid a lot.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet having that around is probably like, oh, okay, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. And
Yeah, I literally have learned a lot from her, which is a super fun thing to be able to say. So I know a little bit about your background.
Yeah, you did.
We've known each other for a couple years. And I'm friends with your parents, mm-hmm. and I adore them. And mm-hmm. That's so cool.
They were at your house before I was at your house.
That's right. So, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions that, you know, I think I probably know the answer to, but the people who are listening don't necessarily know the answer to. Right. And I also have experienced how fun it can be to ask a question where you think you know the answer, but you really don't.
Sure, yeah.
So this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, I might surprise you.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. So the first thing I always like to know is, when did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
I think for me there was like a bit of a natural progression. I started as a dancer, which a lot of dancers, because they are performing in a very unique way and they're entertainers and they get up on stage and they have to be very vulnerable just like an actor would. So dancers sort of naturally are usually pretty decent actors as well, even at a very raw stage in their acting career. And you see a lot of dancers jump to acting. And, you know, there are a lot of like triple threats, especially on Disney, right? So you sort of see it like, you know, a dancer is a good actor, and an actor could be a good singer, and we sort of have, I don't know, it's like in our blood a little bit, so, but a lot of my friends who I danced with from a really young age, they sort of made that jump with me too, so, but yeah, we sort of all, grew out of that, but yeah, I was a dancer, and then, I did, modeling when I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I did a lot of Disney catalog stuff. And I was just sort of jumping around and smiling and, you know, doing a lot of print. And then that sort of led to commercials. I did about 20 commercials when I was a kid, just off the cuff, like, you know, sixth grade and fifth grade. I was just doing a lot of...
That's a lot.
It was. There was a point where I would go in and I would say I probably booked like 25% of the commercials that I auditioned for.
That's unheard of.
Just for like a minute, just for like for a couple months there, I just booked and booked and booked and booked, which was crazy. From, you know, a 7-year-old kid, I'm like, I'm on TV a lot. Like,
college,
that's crazy.
Fun,
no, seriously. My parents were like, wow, you're doing good. Nice job. So yeah, I did that, and then that sort of led to, let's see, I did, I forget which came first, but I think Mirrors was really the first time that I actually acted. And even then, I was 8, I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't know why
you?
I was there. Yeah, there's no real way to, you know the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
I also feel like that's really helped me, is, like, because I was so young and because I didn't really understand, you know, the weight of the industry, I just sort of breezed through that part. And I became acclimated in a way that most people don't. You know, a lot of people sort of get thrown into the fire because they are aware of everything that's going on. But for me, I was just like, yeah, where do you want me to stand? And I'll say this line and then I'm done. Cool. Free food. Awesome. Like, that was sort of my experience when I was a kid. Yeah. And then after that, I'd done a bunch of movies and stuff. But I think when I really realized I wanted to actually be an actor, was probably on Grown Ups, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working with, you know, legends at 10 years old, and I'm on the set, and, you know, Sandler and Kevin James and Chris Rock and David Spade and Maya Rudolph are all on the set with me, Rob Schneider. And first of all, I didn't know who most of them were, which again is one of those things where it's like, that's probably better for me.
Yeah.
Not know that these people are incredible. Right. So I was just sort of like, yeah, this is fun. But really, when I realized that this was something that you had to work at and something that you had to be really conscious at all times about everything that's going on, is when I would do a scene with Sandler and whoever, and because they're these comedic geniuses, they would just go off book and just not do anything in the script half the time. And a 10-year-old kid is waiting for a cue line. I'm waiting for the line before my line.
Right. Which
to say my line.
Up.
Right, exactly. But there were sometimes they would go off on 5-minute tangents in these scenes, and I'm just sitting there desperately trying not to laugh. And I'm I'm just watching these ping pong matches just back and forth and back and forth with all these jokes, and you have to stay in character. And if you don't stay in character, Dennis Dugan, the director, comes up and says, hey, kid, you got to stay in character.
Yeah.
So that was really when I realized that it was going to be something that I couldn't just show up and do.
Yeah, like a
I had to really fit. Right, exactly, where you just show up and smile and you're done. For those, 4 months, and I'm living in Boston, Massachusetts at 10 years old with my dad, without my mom and my sister. So I'm sort of separated from my life. I'm separated from my friends at school. I'm doing school in trailers and all this stuff, and I sort of started to look around me and say, wow, this is something that involves a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that it was this serious. I didn't realize that it was going to, take me completely out of my element. But it did. It did. And ever since then, I really realized, wow, this is something that takes a lot more than people, even, just the average moviegoer thinks. Yeah. So, yeah, that was sort of...
And you decided you wanted to do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, it was easy from there. I was like, man, this is... And even at 10 years old, you understand how special it is to really be on a set. Not that I could have put it into words then, but looking back on it, obviously hindsight is 20/20, and, when I think back on my time on Grown Ups and... all these other things, Descendants and Descendants 2 specifically, they are just these spaces, sets are, that just sort of breathe creative life and everything just sort of circulates in it. It's really a very special place to be. Going from that back to public school was the rudest awakening. And I would go back and I'd be like, wow, I don't want to be here. I want to be back on set.
Yeah.
That's sort of where I really realized that, this was a special thing that I get to do that not everyone gets to do. And, I just sort of ran with it from there.
Well, you did. And, it's funny. I hadn't thought about this till right now, listening to you describe kind of growing into consciousness mm-hmm. as a child
right.
in the industry.
Yeah.
Because you really did start so young.
Yeah, I did.
And it was such a kind of organic path the way it turned out for you, dance into commercial, into theatrical.
Right.
And it's always, I've always felt kind of concerned. I've always felt like there's a kind of tension between in some ways the earlier you start, the easier it is.
Yep.
But in other ways, the earlier you start, the more difficult it is to have a grounded identity.
Oh, absolutely.
That isn't in some ways sort of bent by the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do find myself worrying about a lot of the kids who start really early.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
Who start, right?
I honestly do
yeah,
too,
and
yeah.
And the kids who start older, yeah. They tend to go in with a stronger sense of self that then they're more able to deal with the industry and, all the drama around that. But you're one of those people, you're just one of the most grounded.
Thank you.
Seriously. And I know you well enough to really say this with such confidence.
Thank you.
Grounded, well-adjusted, amazing people I know. And obviously, it just hasn't hurt you a bit to have started so young.
Honestly, I'm in all of the stereotypical, I'm everything. I'm a Disney kid, I'm a child actor, I'm all these things. I think the difference, there are really two differences. The first one is the kid has to want to be there. I didn't really know for sure that I wanted to be there, but at the time I did.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were really skeptical about it, just like you just sort of described.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, child actors become terrible people, and that's just like how it goes.
Well, it's just risky. It's risky.
It is. Tons
of them don't, absolutely. But it's risky.
No, yeah, I mean, there's so many child actors who don't end up crazy, who we don't talk about because they didn't end up crazy.
Right.
Because they're not in the tabloids. So that's like why we forget, and we're just like, where are they? And it's like, oh, well, they're working in a cubicle. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, they are regular people. Like,
they're having
we
a
forget.
Life.
Yeah, exactly, right. But yeah, so that's the first thing, is that for me, I grew up and I still wanted to do it. I feel like a lot of kids grow up and realize, wow, I didn't have a choice before because I was so young. Mm-hmm. And now that I see the industry for what it really is, I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally natural and normal, and that happens so often. But I think what helps kids, like me, who actually do want to do it, and what turns kids off to the industry most of the time, and there's a very thin line, is the parents. Mm. The parents really are everything. As a kid, all you want to do, it doesn't matter what you're doing as a kid, if that is going to make your parents happy, you want to do well.
Yeah.
If a parent goes to a kid and says, okay, I want you to stand on this mark, and you're going to say this line with a lot of energy, and you're going to do it right, and you're going to impress the director, and it's going to be great. All that kid wants to do now is do what you just said, mm-hmm. and impress not the director, not anybody else who would watch the movie, but just their parent.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is. So for a kid, and it's like that in everything, like
mm-hmm.
a basketball yeah. parent, it, like make your free throws and dribble the ball correctly and don't travel and don't double dribble. Like that's what the kid wants to do. He just wants to be good at basketball because
yep.
that's what the parent is asking of them.
Dance, baseball,
everything,
you name it. Yeah.
Everything. And we talk about stage parents. But man, a parent can be overbearing in any scenario that I just mentioned, like,
yep.
or you just mentioned.
Yep.
Baseball and basketball and all the sports and all of the, you know, theater and anything.
Yep.
A parent can be overbearing in anything. And I think the thing that really messes child actors up is a parent wants a kid to be really good at something, sometimes for different reasons. Like a parent will want their kid to be really good at baseball because they want their kid to be a good athlete. And, like, mm-hmm. maybe they won't make the MLB, but they want them to be good at it, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times with a child actor and a stage parent, the stage parent's motivation to motivate their child to be an actor is, oh, my kid is going to be famous.
Yeah, rich and famous.
Rich and famous,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
They're going to have all the money and they're going to pay me, and I'm, you know, my son's gonna buy me a house and a car and all this stuff. And that is the complete wrong approach.
Yeah.
And every stage parent who has ever put their child into acting for that reason, once the child becomes 12 and 13 and understands what's going on around them and why their parent wants them to be in it, they're immediately disgusted by it. They're turned off, they don't want to do it anymore, and they quit.
Yeah, well, and it wrecks their relationship.
Completely.
Which is a serious tragedy.
I mean, it's the worst of every situation. Like, that's the last thing that you want. So when we talk about child actors, you know, for me, I really like to dance. I would always go to dance class. And then all of my friends were, you know, doing commercials and doing stuff like that. And I went to my parents and I was like, well, what is that? Let's do that. That looks fun. And we did that. And then it just grew from there. And my parents were just as skeptical as any other regular parent would be about it. And they said, listen, if you ever end up hating this, if you ever don't like it, if you ever, you know, don't feel like doing it anymore, then we stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you want. Because it's your career, it's your life, it's your childhood
yeah.
that's at stake here. This is all a risk, all of this. And it's all up in the air. So they were saying, you know, listen, this, a lot of things come with this life. You know what I mean? And I've learned at this point that I'm sort of down a road that I can't turn back on. I can't turn around and come the other way. It doesn't happen.
Even if I stop acting
right now, mm-hmm. I will still get recognized on the street. Mm-hmm. I will still get attention. I will still have the followers that I do. It's just, I'm already down the road. You know what I mean? And they understood that when I was a young kid. Mm-hmm. So they would say to me, you know, if this is something that you don't want to do, then we're going to stop. And they kept me in public school for as long as I could. Once I booked Jesse, I couldn't because you're on set 5 days a week. But I was a regular kid for the longest, you know. The kids in public school, when I went to SOCES over here in Reseda, they would call me Eagle Eye Boy. They knew me from the movie. Like, that's, but I was still in school. Yeah. I was still doing regular things with regular kids. And I think because my parents sort of brought it up that way, as opposed to, like, having an ego trip, and, you know, thinking that they, you know, they were getting some glory from their kids', you know, projects and stuff. It really benefited me, and I've sort of grown out of that with a really good understanding of why things happen the way they do in this industry. And, you know, because it can be very ugly, right? But when you understand why...
Yeah.
You have a harder time falling into it.
I think you're right.
You know why, you know, a certain person is struggling with this, or a certain person doesn't want to do it because of this. It's more of a conscious thing, and you sort of understand it a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you understand it, you can step aside from it.
Yeah, you try to navigate, right?
So, have you had somebody who inspired you as an actor?
I mean, a lot of people. I think for me, I find a lot of inspiration from places that you wouldn't normally... Like, a lot of actors point to other actors.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could too. But I think the people who inspired me the most... to continue to try to just be the best possible entertainer, I guess, that I could be, was, like, my dance teachers and my friends who were going through it with me, and my family who are super proud of me and have made so many sacrifices. People like that who sort of... And I also look to athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of an interesting one that I say that, and people are like, oh, really? Why? And an athlete's commitment to their craft and their work ethic is, like, alien. It's insane. Like, the amount of time in their day that they spend on their bodies to make sure that they're prepared for their season is insane. And that's why they're there, is because they understand what it takes. Kobe Bryant, I'm a Laker fan, Kobe Bryant would sit in, like, ice baths and, you know, do all these crazy acupuncture insane things, and he eats all these healthy things, and, like, that's what he had to do to maintain his spot at the top of the league as one of the best players.
Mm-hmm.
So, in an actor's way, you can sort of draw from that and say, well, what can I do to sort of maintain or improve, you know, what else can I do? And it's a little different with acting because you want it to come from a natural place, so you don't want to drive things home, you don't want to, you know, beat it to death. But there are definitely things that you can do to sort of continue that, I guess that momentum. But yeah, just the work ethic of an athlete is really impressive.
I love that. That makes total sense to me, and frankly, the kind of actor you are, you use a lot of athletic skills in a lot of the roles that you give. And I mean, I was just watching, you know, some scenes from Descendants 2 again. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, serious skills that are so fun to watch and impressive. And let's be honest, it takes a profound amount of work and dedication to get to that place. You don't just, you know, casually jump off the stairs into the split without some training.
My Nicholas Brothers split, yes.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's my proudest moment in the whole film. I mean, you gotta, but that's the thing. You have to understand that you're gonna be doing these kind of things on a project like that. Mm-hmm. Your body is gonna go through a lot. So maintain it, you know? Take care of yourself. Don't be doing crazy stuff out late at night and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, eating things that are bad for you. You gotta really, you know, help yourself.
Well, treat your body like an instrument.
Yeah,
because that is what it is.
It literally is an instrument.
For an actor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Descendants is a very unique project in that you really, really have to take care of yourself because you could wake up the next morning and just be sore, like you can't move. There were times I would wake up and I could not move my head back and forth because my neck was so sore. Like, that's just sort of what it was. So, you know, get home at a reasonable hour, make sure you're doing your Epsom salt baths and sleeping in warm clothing and stretching and doing yoga. And we always went down to the hot tub to sort of, I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to think about and do, you know, because people talk about on and off set.
Mm-hmm.
On set, you have to be on. And off set, you also sort of have to be on. Because if you're not on offset, then you're going to end up sort of struggling on set. So that's sort of how it is. And while giving yourself sort of that mental break,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to take care of everything and prioritize.
The nutrition and the rest and the aggressive care that is frankly required, or you will be like hobbling into set the next
day. It is. And you know.
I do.
I mean, Dove, like, she's working constantly and, you know, we only get so many hours of sleep, and it's tough. We have early call times and late nights, and that's when you do have that time off, you have to take care of number one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. Otherwise, it's all going to come crashing down.
Otherwise, you can't be there when you need to be there.
Exactly.
So, how important has training been for you?
I mean, that's the most important. I think, my training is very different than other people's training. I've never really actually taken an acting class, which I think, again, people are very shocked by that, and a lot of people really benefit from acting class. And I'm sure I would take a lot of things from acting class as well. But I think for me, I really like to be completely in something and then completely out of something to be able to get back into something, if that makes any sense. Like, I think, you know, as an actor, you have to really go to a certain place. And I feel like if I tried to constantly be in that place, I would wear myself out almost. So my training is really, you know, like if I'm running lines for an audition that I have or something like that, I will run the lines enough to be really familiar with them. And I will really think about, because everything has a purpose on the page. Every single thing on the page is there for a reason. It's like, what is it? The Declaration of Independence or
mm-hmm,
something,
mm-hmm.
where literally every single word down to the is there for a reason. And it could be replaced with another word and give the sentence a completely different meaning.
Yes.
Right? So everything on the page is there for a reason, and you have to think, why is it there?
Yeah.
Why does the writer want this specific thing in the script? And once you sort of break it down like that, then you have a better understanding of, this is where I want to take it. A lot of people see words, and then they say words. And you can do that, you know? I've seen that in shows and movies and stuff, and, you know, they're never talked about as being good performances, but sometimes, miraculously, they make it, for whatever reason. But when you really break it down, when you break a script down or sides down or whatever, once you understand that every single thing on the page is there to convey something, is there to explain something to the audience, then you really can go line for line and a lot of times word for word. So that's something that I really look at. And when I have that understanding and I'm familiar with the words and I'm able to sort of do it off book and I feel comfortable, I put it down. I put it down and I look at it right before I go in and I get myself back into that place. But when people run things over and over and over again, and sometimes it works for people. And if that's your method, then that's your method and it's cool. For me, things get stale and they just dry up and there's nothing natural about it anymore. When you go in knowing this is exactly how I want to say this line, that never happens.
I agree. I always feel like that's the death of a sense of like life.
Yeah. There's nothing natural about that anymore. Me talking to you right now, I'm not thinking in my head, this is how I'm going to say whatever I'm about to say to Bonnie. Like, that doesn't happen in real life.
No.
And once you take it there, it becomes robotic. Like, it's very much, it's just the whole line just sort of plateaus. It's just stagnant. It just doesn't go anywhere. So, for me, I like to understand why. I like to understand, whatever feeling I want to have in this certain moment. I do want to know that, but I don't want to know down to the last bit how I'm going to say something or how this is going to be read. That's never good. So what I do is I get really familiar with it beforehand. You do the work before, and then once you've done the work, there's really nothing to fear anymore. When you've done the work, there's nothing that you have to worry about. You leave it at the door, and then you let the work speak for itself, and you just go to the place naturally. That's just how it should be, I feel like.
I love that. I think that is brilliant advice. And so we kind of fell into audition advice, which I want to ask you a little more about in a second, but just to kind of like circle back on the training thing. So you were fortunate enough, you know, unlike the vast majority of actors out there, to sort of be able to be in a position to learn by doing with some of the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a really rare situation. So in your case, completely. Like, you know, learning by doing is as legit as anything. And that's kind of Dove's story, too.
Yeah.
You know, she's a learning by doing kid, but not everybody has that incredible good fortune. So I think for those people, that's where acting classes can really definitely, like, kind of close that gap.
Right. It's important. I mean, I'm so lucky. Because like I said before, I was literally in it before I knew I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've grown a love from it, from that, really, I've been able to sort of, you know, people always ask me, so Cameron, you just graduated high school. Are you going to go to college? And I tell them, I've already been to college. Yeah. Like, I've already taken courses. I've toyed around with really expensive cameras, and I've talked to grips, and I've talked to effects people, and I've literally been where people train to be in college.
Yeah.
If I went and did, you know, film or whatever at USC, that's a great program, and I'm sure I would learn a lot. But I've learned enough just being in it, being around it. I'm literally on set.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people really, you know, sort of take that for granted when they're on set. They don't ask questions. You know, they sort of mosey their way through it and whatever. But I don't know. For me, I've always been like, wow, this is a crazy thing that's happening.
You're curious and you're a natural learner. And I've seen you do that consistently. Mm. Like, you are always paying attention.
Yeah. I mean, you have an opportunity to really learn. And one thing that I've noticed is that, first of all, actors don't a lot of the times ask questions about what a grip does or what a whatever, you know, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So when an actor does ask, that grip is going to be like, wait, really? Okay, I'll tell you everything. Like, they're so ready to pass their knowledge on.
It's so cool.
And so, you know, for an actor, you know, you just... I've always felt like an actor is in a prime position to learn about anything. Because when you're on set, maybe you're not in a scene, you're not really needed anywhere. So you can sort of just roam and ask questions and start to really break other jobs down, because a lot of people aren't actors for the rest of their careers. Mm-hmm. You see so many actors go from actor to producer to director to... Right? I mean, it's never like, I'm just an actor. Like, every really great actor has also done stuff behind the camera.
Yeah, they've been producing, they've been writing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in their free time, they're toying with things and they're playing around. That's something that I've noticed, and I that's what I want. That's the path that I want to go down. It's not, I don't want to be one-dimensional. I want to be well-rounded, and I want to not only know what's happening, but that just makes the respect for other people on set so much greater. And once people start respecting each other on set and start to really, you know, throw ideas around, and if an actor understands what, you know, a certain guy does on set, then there's a mutual respect that is really a bonding. It builds camaraderie, and it just sort of makes everything better, and it makes everything run smoothly. And so there's really no downside to that. There's really no downside to that. Just ask questions. And even if you're in acting class or you're wherever, just ask the questions anyway. You don't have to be on set to learn, because I don't know everything. Nobody really knows everything. But, you know, wherever it is that you are, if you're in acting class or you're, you know, in theater camp or wherever, just ask questions and try to understand where the other person is coming from, because that really not only benefits you, but it benefits them, and it's a whole cycle.
Well, just like you said about a script, you know, there's a reason for every word on the page. There's a reason for why they're there, what they're doing, the way they're doing it.
Yep.
There's always a reason.
Yep.
You may not understand it.
No.
But you'll probably do better when you do.
Yeah. There. I mean, like, okay, for example, and this is so simple. There's a guy on set whose designated job is to make sure that the camera is in focus. So what they do is they take a tape measure and they put the base of the tape measure right by the lens, and then they take the tape measure and they put it really close to your face. Mm-hmm. And because I understand now what that guy does, I just take the tape measure in my hand and I put it right to my eye. And they always go, thanks, man.
Yeah.
It's just so simple, but there's just something there, you know? And there's a respect there now.
Yeah.
And I probably helped him. He probably wouldn't have got it close to my face because he would have been scared to hit me.
Yeah.
I take the tape measure, I put it right to my eye, so the focus should be perfect. And, you know, we get a better shot. I'm building a relationship with, you know, it's all good.
It's beautiful.
It's all good.
So I'm going to ask you about how you found an agent and a manager.
Okay.
And I know that you were young, mm-hmm. and your parents had probably a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Oh, I knew nothing. I didn't know what was happening.
What do you remember about that?
I remember, well, okay. I was 6 or 7, I guess. And I mean, we had a lot of help from, you know, I said before that my friends were doing it and they had agents, I'm sure. So I just sort of let my parents handle it, but what they would tell you, is they just sort of went online probably and researched, good kids agencies. And we found an agent, I guess we contacted them somehow. I ended up doing, like, an interview with them. They just sort of wanted to see me in person and know what I was like and see if I had personality and things like that. And, again, I was a kid. I don't really, like, remember what I did to impress them. But I was just sort of being myself. I think a lot of kids are really shy when they're around people they don't know. But you can sort of tell when a kid would be a good actor because they just don't care. They just continue to be themselves and they'll talk to whoever and they're super out, you know, outgoing and whatever. So I guess I was that kid and they signed me and that sort of took off from there. But, and everybody has a different experience. Like, I know people who love a certain agent and I'll talk to somebody else who hates the same people. And loves a certain manager, and somebody who hates the same person. And that confused me for so long. I was like, okay, well, how could they be great and terrible at the same time? Like, I don't get it. And I think the most important thing, and the thing that we were really lucky to find with Osbrink, who was my first agent, my kid's agent, was they just, for whatever reason, really cared about me. You know? And sometimes agencies take on people that they don't really have the time for, or they're not really super passionate about this person. Mm-hmm. They just sort of took them on mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And that's when you get the stories like, oh, they do nothing.
Yeah.
They do absolutely nothing. And then you talk to somebody else and they're like, I've had 5 auditions this week. Like, they're doing great.
Yeah. And it's the same agent.
And it's the same agent. Yeah. It's the same agent. It's just what's the most important is finding somebody who is passionate about you. And I was able to find that with Osbrink. And that's the thing too, like I had a manager back when I was 9 years old, did nothing. And I booked something that she had no part in, like there was nothing that she did to help. And she was like, wait, where's my 10%? And we were like, wait, you're still working for us? Like, we didn't even remember. Like, that. So that kind of stuff happens. But, you know, and now I have a better understanding of it, and I've switched agents pretty recently. I went to APA. And again, the most important thing for me that I was like, I have to find this, is somebody who cares about me and also really understands what I want.
Yeah, who sees you and gets you.
Right, where I'm coming from. Because at this point, like when I was 7, I had no vision of where I wanted my career to go. Now I have a very good idea. And when I explain that and somebody can say, oh, and this also, you know, or, you know, what about that? Like that's also sort of in line with, and I'm going, yeah, no, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I hadn't thought of, but you just thought of it, and I'm so down for it. Like, that's when you sort of feel a connection, and, you know, you end up signing, and then they sort of take it from there. But, and with an agent or a manager or whatever you have, I still don't have a manager. I am with an agency. I have a publicist. But, you know, I get auditions from my agent. And I'm sure eventually I'll probably have a manager, but you know, just do what's best for you and whatever feels right, whichever person, feels the most passionate, who means business and will get you what you need. And you know, that's the person that you go with. But I've always gone with my gut. That's so important. Just go with what you feel. Everybody says, oh, this person's bad or oh, this person's good. You got to sort of block out that noise and just say, hey, this is the person who I'm gravitating towards, so that's who I'm running with.
You got to go with your gut, because if you don't, I mean, in my experience, every time I've gone against my gut instincts, I have...
You regret it.
Always regret it.
Oh, yeah.
Without exception.
Same here. I've felt weird or awkward or bad about certain things, but somebody would tell me, no, this is good for you. And then I'd do it, and then I'd look back at the product, and I'd go... No, that's not good for me. I didn't want to do that. It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So you gotta just, you know, you gotta go with your gut, really. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, it's really hard to go wrong if you do, and it's super hard. Yeah. Super easy to go wrong if you don't.
Yeah, and even if it was the wrong decision, you still don't regret it because you felt a certain way about it.
Yes.
So even if, you know, like, let's say you booked 2 roles, and one you're really excited about, and one was like, oh yeah, I'll go on this audition. Even if that role takes off and the movie's a smash hit, and you shouldn't regret that. You should always go with your gut. That's the most important thing.
That is good life advice, no matter whether you're an actor or not.
Yeah, gotta do it. Gotta go with your gut.
So, how did you manage balancing school and acting? You stayed in public school as long as you could.
Right.
How'd that go, all that?
Until sixth grade, I stayed in public school. And that was hard. I would leave, even for 2 days, like, I would get a Burger King commercial, I'd be gone for 2 days, and I'd come back to school, and I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea what was happening in math or English or anything like that.
Yeah, you missed the important thing where you're learning the thing about the math, and the rest of your year is confusing to you.
Completely. And, you know, studio teachers have a different way of teaching things, and it was just kind of hard. When I booked Jesse in 2011, I was going into seventh grade, and I went to homeschooling, which was very weird and sort of like, it didn't feel like real school. Like, it still doesn't really feel like real school. Like, I did work. I wrote in books, and I read books, and I did all that stuff from seventh until 12th grade. But something about those years feel very, like, I don't really think I was fully doing school. And that's because there's so many other things that I had to think about, you know? I had two jobs. I would literally go from being on set and, you know, being in a scene and being a character. And then once my scene was done, our first AD would say, "All right, Cameron, go to school." And then I would go to Crafty, grab a soda, and then walk upstairs and go to school. It's like, and we would literally wait for our second AD to come upstairs and say, "Go to set," because we didn't want to be in school. We wanted to be on set the whole time. So we would just wait patiently in school to go to set, and then we would go to set. It was like a really long bathroom break in public school. Like, can I go to the bathroom? Then you go for 15 minutes and act. That's sort of what it was for us. But yeah, I mean, I got a probably as good of an education as a kid in public school. Not because I was, you know, super, super, I don't know. I just think that with, like, a one-on-one setting with a tutor, you probably, you know, sort of understand things a little more, and they work a little harder to help you understand. Public school moves really quickly, and there are 30 other kids the teacher has to worry about, and, you know, if you don't get it, sorry, we're moving on anyway. But with us, there were 4 kids and 2 teachers.
That's an incredible ratio.
Yeah, and granted, we were in different grades.
But still.
Different curriculums. But at the same time, like, it was literally, we had 2 teachers practically to ourselves.
Yeah, you're, like, just basically being private tutored all the way through 7th and
12th. Exactly, yeah. So it really, as much as it was a disadvantage that I had to also work, it was totally an advantage to have a teacher who really cared about what it is that you were doing and you alone. Like, mm-hmm. That was really helpful. So, you know, kids who go to regular school don't have to worry about other things like I did, but, and a lot of time they do. They're, you know, doing sports and whatever, mm-hmm. You know, they're doing their thing. I had a job and I had school, and I got through both pretty well. I'd like to think. So yeah, I mean, it was tough, but, you know, you get through it. And with that kind of support, it's hard to fail, you know. Our teachers cared so much about how, you know, well we did in school, and I graduated with honors, and that's, you know.
And you went all the way through. You never took the CHSSB. You didn't really have to. There was no reason for you to.
There really wasn't. There really wasn't. A lot of people, and I would have if I had to, but a lot of people take the CHSSB, and sometimes it's warranted and sometimes it isn't. If you take the CHSSB because a casting director really likes you, but they might have to go with somebody older because you're still in school and that costs money and you won't be on set for as long and all these kind of things, then take the Chespie. Totally take the Chespie. I would have. But I was on set on a Disney show where there were other kids. We were all doing school. It was sort of a... And I think Karin didn't take the Chespie. Peyton might have, but she graduated. Mm-hmm. Skye's still in school. So that's just sort of how we did it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to cheat myself, you know? It was a fake experience anyway. Like, it wasn't really school anyway. So, and that's what I'm all about, is sort of staying normal as much as possible, you know? So I didn't want to cheat myself out of that. And a lot of people in my graduating class didn't even go to graduation because they're actors or whatever, and they're too good for it or whatever, but... I went with Karin, and we had a blast. Sophie, we were all there, and it's really nice to have sort of that, you know, that normal time. And you know, my grandparents came, and it was like the whole thing, you know. So that's really important, and you sort of learn to cherish that when you are so abnormal.
It's really true. When things get super abnormal, mm-hmm. the normal stuff becomes something that you really do cherish and you look for, and it helps to keep you grounded, literally.
Yeah,
so for anybody who's been listening who doesn't know, we're talking about the Chespie or the Chespie. It's CHSPE. It's the California High School Proficiency Exam. And in California, young actors, either at the end of their sophomore year or at 16, can take this test. And if they pass it, they get the equivalent of a high school diploma. They can be legally done with school. They don't have to have a set teacher anymore. And they can work adult hours, which is like the golden ticket.
Yeah, you get these 15, 16-year-olds who are on set all night and not doing school. I remember talking to a bunch of actors who were 16, and I'm like 14 or 13 at the time. And, you know, I'm asking them about their schooling, and they're saying, oh, I don't do school anymore.
I'm done.
I'm like, what? How old are you? 16. How are you out of school?
Yeah.
And the first, like, my first reaction to that was like, heck yeah, I'm doing that, you know? Right. Like any other kid. But, once I got to that point, I was like, no, I'm not gonna, there's no reason for me to, I'm not gonna cheat my way out of it, you know?
Yeah. No, and I love hearing that, because, you know, I feel personally that the Chespie is a very double-edged tool. Very double-edged. It is not something anybody should do casually.
No.
It's not like if you take it, you have to be done with school. You can keep going to school all the way through and keep it in your back pocket.
Right.
But my experience is that when people do take it,
they get lazy.
They tend to use it.
They get lazy.
And they tend to, like, not finish school.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to, and you know, Dove did that, and mm-hmm. for her it was the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's a very individual choice that has everything to do with the specific kid and the mm-hmm. specific family and their specific career and where they're at. And mm-hmm. you don't have to, man. Don't do it.
Yeah. As much as I talk about, you know, oh well, I didn't really do school. I was in school.
Yeah, you did, and you got honors camp.
I did. I'm very proud of myself. No, but I think, you know, when you're 16 and you're done with school, you're missing out on 2 years of school.
Yeah. There's no getting around
that.
That's
the math. That's the simple math.
Yeah.
You subtract 11th and 12th grade, and you learn a lot in those years.
Well, and just to, like, not put too fine a point on it, but mm-hmm. in fact, you know, if you do finish school early because you pass the Chespie, you're done with high school legally, but that doesn't mean you have the credits to get into college.
Nope.
And if you decide you want to do that, you have to work extra hard, you know, online or at a community college mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, get into a good college, university. Now, you know, you may never decide to do that if mm-hmm. your acting career takes off, but let's be honest, most actors don't.
Yeah, no, they don't.
And college may be a very good idea.
Yeah,
at some point.
For a lot of, it's so unstable, like, you never know. But, yeah, when people say the Chespie and a high school diploma are equivalent, because that's, like, the technical term for it, and you
legally,
just said it, like, legally it is. Mm-hmm. It's not.
No.
It's not. People
not
don't
really
look at it the same way as a diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and also just, you know, staying in school because I wanted to, were really some of the, like, motivating factors of, like, okay, I really want to just, like, I've come this far, and there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't have to do it, I say, you know, do whatever's best for you. You know, if it's better for you to not have to worry about school, and you have a workload that's insane, you know, like, we just attest to it with Dove, and that's, she was literally playing two characters, and like, that, in that case, you take the chess beat. That's the thing to do. But yeah, if, like for me, I was very comfortable on set. I was fourth on the cast list, so a lot of times I was in the B story and I was chilling. There was no reason for me to, and I'm so glad that I've finished school. Like, that's, you know, as, I guess, because it is sort of normal, but that's still something to be proud of, and I'm very proud of it.
I agree.
This is part one of my two-part conversation with Cameron. Come back next week for part two, where he shares about auditions, dealing with fame, surprises along his journey, and much, much more. Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.